T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I thought it went well. You know, we have a lot of different reasons for that. Number one, to be very clear, the offensive struggles that have been going on with us has nothing to do with James Daniels not playing well or not performing. There's a lot of different things that we looked into with the situation, and we felt very comfortable with that. Today, again, to make a switch like that, there's two ways to look at it. There's a concern of, can the guys switch in a week's notice and go ahead and execute during game day? Well, we felt good about it because of those two guys and who they are. That's an easy deal. The next part is the execution of them doing it on game day, and they handled it well. We had a couple things here or there, but that's going to happen regardless.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is, of course, Matt Nagy, and we are welcoming in Rich Campbell. He, of course, covering the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. He joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline. El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Morning, Rich.
I'm great. Great. Looking forward to L.A., looking out my back deck right here and seeing snow everywhere.
I hadn't thought of that. Let me tell you something. You did a fantastic job with the Trubisky Treatise. You and Dan Wiederer, that was a wonderful story, very well researched, and we kind of talked about it this morning. Maybe the hook to your story is they're going to L.A. to play a guy that did get paid, that was thought to be the answer for a team. And certainly we're going to figure out what Mitch is and whether they have to pay him moving forward. And is he the guy they thought he was? But there's no denying the fact that the two guys taken after him have exceeded him in terms of their success in the NFL. And Mitch, of course, struggling as the Bears are this season. When you think about that story and you go through, I mean, it's exhaustive research you did, and I would recommend everyone make sure you do read it. What did you learn, Rich, that you didn't know before as you were researching that story?
I think the main lesson that I took away from it was that I wasn't sure that they were early. They were so out on Watson early in the process. Like they just didn't put him through the same type of get to know you process with the private workout and the dinner that they did with Mitch Trubisky and Pat Mahomes. And so you look at why Watson is succeeding in Houston. His college career speaks for itself. Just a terrific, you know, career, two-time Davey O'Brien Award winner. It was for the best quarterback in college football, national champion, beat Alabama on a final drive. Those things hit you. If you're determined to draft a quarterback, why are you not doing your full due diligence or the same due diligence as you were on the other two guys? Now, the Bears will say that they obviously were comfortable with their evaluation, that Watson, they had durability concerns with his frame and the fact that he was carrying injuries into the NFL, previous knee injuries. He got hurt early in his career, which seemed to validate those. And he threw 17 interceptions his final season, despite winning the national championship. So the Bears were not alone in thinking that Mitch Trubisky was the best. But for me, I could look at Mahomes and easily compartmentalize, okay, the Chiefs had a great structure for him. Credit to the Chiefs and the infrastructure they had built. The Bears were lagging way behind that in terms of head coach and front office synergy. But with Watson, that's the one where I feel like we need more answers from Ryan about why they just were not interested so early in the process.
But Rich, I think that's a good point. At the same time, you said the Bears would say they were comfortable with their choice or decision. Yeah. an evaluation of Trubisky. I would say they were fixated on Trubisky, and they were almost enamored, infatuated, whatever adjective or whatever, you know, with, however you want to describe it. And they were so fixated on Trubisky to the point where they gave up the draft capital they gave up to move up, that I wonder what value a meeting with Watson would have served. And that doesn't make it right. It's not justifying the negligence. It's certainly not excusing it. But I do think it's understandable to me. They could have, and I said this earlier, they could have had a buddy weekend playing poker and smoking cigars with Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure that it would have made Ryan Pace fall out of love with Mitch.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that, David. And I think there's some very interesting psychology that went on here. I mean, look at everything Pace has said about Mitch. In terms of his personality, Pace was very attracted to Mitch's humility and the family support structure that he had around him. And there are some noteworthy overlaps in traits between Mitch and Ryan. Both guys were, you know, relatively under-recruited coming out of high school. You know, I just wonder if Pace saw some qualities in Mitch that he saw in himself. I agree with you that you know, the word infatuated or fixated, I wrote in the story that Trubisky captured his heart and mind of Pace and Josh Lucas. And that's an interesting psychological test right there, because once you are, you know, you've taken that fork in the road, how willing are you to see what's in the other lanes still? And, you know, again, the Bears were not alone in their evaluation of Mitch as the top quarterback in the draft. But yeah, boy, the Watson factor now, that, you know, that ability to just win and the charisma, that is translating to the NFL. And he's also done a lot better protecting the ball. And so there you have a guy who's now a top five candidate for MVP this season.
You just sent a shiver down my spine, because the minute you talked about Ryan recognizing himself, the only thing that went through my mind was the idea that Phil Emery saw the turning roads and the dark hallways and all that he had gone through in Mark Trestman, not in Bruce Arians. And that you just gave me a shiver. If that's the way you're going about your job, then there are issues here beyond the pale. I that is just insane to me. What jumped out to me about the story is exactly what I was reminded of when the time came, when they actually drafted him. And I made some calls around the league and talked to a lot of people about Trubisky. And it was the same thing. The same problem that everybody had was that he was not productive enough in college. He hadn't played enough in college. He had had 1 year, and he didn't, even then, he didn't turn that program entirely around. They were bowl eligible. He had a terrible bowl game, but they went 8-5. You know, he didn't impact that program in the same fashion that you would think a great player would. And if Ryan Pace is looking for Drew Brees, how did he see Drew Brees, who took Purdue back to quarterback U? How did he see that in Mitch? That's what really bothered me as I read the story.
You know, I sat in that press conference on April 27th, 2 years ago, and specifically asked Ryan, how does Mitch meet the Drew Brees model for you? And he just said he felt like he did raise the program at UNC. He felt like he had the quarterback traits. And I just thought, okay, you know, you can look at Watson and very easily see that Watson met those criteria, lift the program, put it not only on the national stage, but succeed there. I mean, Drew Brees didn't win a national championship. He didn't beat Alabama the way Watson did. So for me, Jordan Palmer, who was a former Bears quarterback, and he was a tutor of Watson's, you know, he was quoted in the story, and he was quoted at the time saying, don't overthink this. And I think in hindsight, it's pretty clear that there's, in that quotations, overthought, overthinking this. It's like, pick the winning quarterback, the guy who, like I said, two-time Davey O'Brien Award winner, and wins, beats Alabama, has that charisma, has the ability to galvanize his teammates. And the Bears just didn't go that direction. Now, what would be really interesting and what we'd never pin down was what was the Texans' draft ranking, actually? I mean, did they have Watson 1? They picked 3rd. Two teams traded up and took the other two guys. Now, You know, did Watson just miraculously fall into their lap and they've done a great job with him, or did they recognize these things as well? We might not ever know. Even the people we talked to in Houston were not dialed in on this completely, but it has obviously worked out for them, and the reasons Deshaun is succeeding were evident in college.
Rich, just a question about the mechanics here. I mean, I get it. You're publicly questioning the psychology of the Bears general manager, and I know he declined to be interviewed for this story. At what point do we hear from Ryan Pace, though? Because, look, if you're the Bears front office and you're sitting up there at Hallis Hall and you are being raked over the coals for a draft pick, you know, in 2017, and I get the context and I understand why, because it was the wrong pick. But at what point do you expect to hear from Ryan Pace? How hard was it to try to get him to talk about this specifically? And what do you expect him to say?
Yeah, we made multiple attempts to get Ryan to talk, to convince him that it was worth his while to speak to us for this. He did not feel comfortable doing so. We were able to directly contact him, not just necessarily go through media relations there. Ryan just is going to wait till the end of the season, as far as I know. I mean, that's sort of the approach that he's decided to take the last year or two, let the head coach have his voice, and Pace will speak at the end of the season. And I would just say that when we have given some examples of quarterbacks who were maligned through two or three years in their career, but went on to be successful, whether it's Breeze himself, who was benched in San Diego, or Eli Manning, those are examples that are not lost on the team. Those are examples that are being looked at Hallis Hall for potential parallels. Now, you know, as we put in the story, if you want to throw out, hey, Drew Brees and Eli Manning turned it around and won Super Bowls, well, there are a lot more names you could throw out that didn't. And so they're going to have to reconcile with this. I truly did think it would benefit Ryan if he's the one that comes out and says, all right, we really just feel like this guy needs time. We understand he had only 573 pass attempts in college. Yeah, our Super Bowl defense, you know, the timeline didn't exactly work with a longer developmental process for Mitch. But here we are, and we're going to be patient with this guy. Now, it might not be popular because they're not winning games, and they're going to fall short, it appears, of their Super Bowl expectations. But maybe that's the way to go. And I look back to Decatur when we were there in late July when I asked Ryan about Mitch's camp and his season, and Ryan said he just wanted to see steady incremental growth. And I thought, wow, that is a low bar. That is a really low bar. And I just, looking back on that, I wonder if Pace had seen it through OTAs that he thought, whoa, these expectations, you know, these guys talking about Super Bowl at the Bears 100 convention stuff, it's too much. It's too much for this guy. Now that cat got out of the bag and the Bears were not able to manage that well or didn't manage that well. But now, when you talk about the need for patience and maybe this slower arc that, okay, quarterbacks in 2016, you guys mentioned Jared Goff, that he's going through. Quarterbacks in 2018, they're going through. Okay, if you want to say Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson are the outliers, I'll buy that. But here's the thing. You had a chance to pick one of those outliers.
Yeah.
You had the pick in 2017. So, you know, if you want to say, okay, Mitch is the norm, okay, I'll buy that. But you had a chance. You were the one picking in 2017 to go outside the norm, and they didn't.
I the thing that is chilling is the idea that maybe he's the guy that has to take the next quarterback, the guy that signed Mike Glennon, the guy that drafted Mitch. Does he identify at all with Colin Kaepernick? Does he see himself in Kaepernick in any way?
Will they be there Saturday?
I would be absolutely stunned if Colin Kaepernick became a Bear. And there's multiple reasons for that. But as far as Saturday's workout goes, think about this. If you're Matt Nagy and you're on the up on the lectern every day and you're discussing Mitch's development and you're the voice of the organization, you know, Pace has made Ryan or Matt the voice of the organization, and Matt's expressing confidence in his development, and they're also managing Mitch's confidence behind the scenes. And then you read that Ryan Pace was at Colin Kaepernick's workout on Saturday. How do you think that's going to go over? I mean, that's mixed messaging all the way from your quarterback through your fan base. So I just don't see that. I do think that at this point, you know, without knowing how the final seven games play out, the Bears are going to have to consider every option at quarterback if they feel like their defense is championship ready, which I think we agree it should be if the offense is doing its part. So that means every option, that's Colin Kaepernick's in there. Now they could maybe dismiss him outright. Maybe they have another plan. We'll see how it plays out. But I would be stunned if Kaepernick were a Bear.
Yeah, I would be too, but I think anyway. It would be nice if Pace went, maybe pulled his hat down over his head, went by himself. All right, great stuff. Appreciate it,
Thanks,
Rich.
Thanks, Rich. Good job.
Thank you, guys.
That's what he did, apparently, when he
was... The Sun Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he didn't
treated like
recognized.
The Sun Bowl. I mean, this is where we're at. Mitch's fragile confidence couldn't handle Ryan going to see if Colin Kaepernick can play. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Everything Mitch says and does is being parsed, and while it's part of the job, do you feel he is competitive and mentally tough enough to deal with this hurricane of opinion?
Yeah, I think this is all part of playing quarterback in the NFL, and every quarterback goes through this, and it's just part of the experience. And I think, you know, we're fortunate we have a head coach that understands it more than anyone. You know, he played the position himself, and I think there's growth that happens on the field. There's growth that happens off the field. Other young quarterbacks around the league are going through it, the same thing. And honestly, we're proud of the way Mitch is handling it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I don't think it's the hurricane of opinion. I think it's the crap play that is the issue, right?
Yeah, these aren't opinions that are just kind of like offered to be hot takes or polarizing or even clickbait. I think when you look at what hasn't happened with the development of your second overall pick from the draft 2 years ago, three seasons, that's why. Okay, it's a fact. It's not opinion. The fact is that Mitch Trubisky has not lived up to his draft status. And that is a problem, the biggest problem, really, the Bears face right now.
Personally, I'm proud of the way he hasn't lived up to his draft status. Is that what he's really saying? We're running around inside the guy's head. But the most disturbing thing that I've heard this morning is Rich telling us that Ryan Pace recognized his own plight and his own journey in Mitchell Trubisky, and therefore drafted him as the quarterback for the Bears. You have got to be kidding me. I don't want to get the guy on the couch and figure that out.
Well, that is an opinion, though. But that's an opinion.
Okay, that's an opinion.
And I value
if
that opinion
true,
because he has insight and he knows the guy very well.
My God.
But that's a pretty strong thing to say without having heard from the guy himself, which is why I think he needs to speak for himself.
Why didn't he then draft a guy that played at his college or was a defensive lineman who could eventually get coffee for a great coach and then get a job out of it?
Who are you talking about there?
I'm just making jokes.
But the thing is about if you want to take it to that degree and say, okay, did Ryan Pace see a lot of himself in Mitch Trubisky? I do wonder, though, if he's just going to go out and get a quarterback that resembled himself or kind of in his own likeness. Wouldn't you have gone out and engineered something for Jimmy Garoppolo, the Eastern Illinois product, who probably was the guy who
you
the try hard guy?
As I recall, you were a big fan of that idea.
I did. I was pushing for that. That was my number one priority that offseason was that. And that's what I remember about that offseason is the Bears had to be fixated on getting a quarterback. And they had to go into solving that problem because that was that was the draft where you had some guys who were, you know.
And I remember I wanted DeShone Kizer out of that draft. And that was exactly the way that Mike Mayock felt, I learned in the story. Until he got to the combine and saw all of it. So I don't have that information, and Dustin is obsessed with what the draftniks think on a particular draft. I think that you can see a guy and recognize some qualities. I'm not getting paid to pick him, and I'm not doing a deep dive. And I'm just saying I thought that Kizer would be better as a pro than he was.
And Mayock's opinion was influenced by his exposure to Kizer some at Notre Dame when he was the analyst for NBC.
Right. But
I think what Dustin was pointing out was that there were a lot of mock drafts that had Trubisky ranked high, which
is fine, but only one guy, Ryan Pace, traded up and took him.
Sure, and we don't know to what degree he valued those outside opinions in forming his own.
Well, let's hope not.
Let's hope
he didn't care. But the draftniks, knows, the Mel Kipers of the world are calling scouts, getting their opinion, and then creating their opinion out of the information they get from NFL teams. That's all that is.
But Mully, if you're willing to accept the fact that you have a general manager who's influenced by his own obsession with getting somebody in his likeness, it's not a big leap to think that he would be influenced by external opinions from draftniks. Because if you're saying that he is, you know, that weak-minded, essentially, is what you're saying, then he is going to be probably open to being directed by those draftniks.
Kizer, by the way, currently on the Raiders roster. Playing for Mayock.
That's something.
He got his guy.
That is funny.
All right, let's get right behind Mike Glennon on the depth chart.
There you go. Let's get to the phone lines. Jay's in Deerfield. Good morning, Jay. How
morning,
are you?
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys got a great segment about Trubisky. I just think you guys are missing a couple things. I teach econ and psych, and I just wanted to say the reality is this. You got a pretty much an all-white management organization, and you guys are talking about likeness and seeing this guy in his own image. And here's the reality. You got a league where people don't necessarily respect. I mean, hopefully it's changing with Lamar and hopefully with Mahomes and obviously the other guy. But the reality is people just don't necessarily – they're old school. And I think Trubisky's buying into that. I mean, you watch any given Sunday, you're going to realize this is a mistake we made. I want to hear you guys' comments. Take care.
So you're saying that race had something to do with that draft pick? Is that the idea?
I don't buy that. I really don't. I understand that there's a lot of people out there that agree with that idea, and there's a notion out there that the Bears were part of this sort of kind of undercurrent of making a decision that was based on race. But they've had African American quarterbacks before. You look around the league, and there are guys who have succeeded.
Yes.
I just don't see that being the primary issue here.
Rick Tellender, our buddy Rick Tellender, wrote a column saying basically that they took Mitch because he was white. They didn't draft Mahomes. They didn't draft DeShone Watson that season because they wanted to have a white quarterback. I really don't think that's accurate. I mean, I don't know about Rick's story. I'm saying I honestly don't believe that that is what they were thinking about when they made that pick. I think that, you know, Willie Thrower is the first ever African-American quarterback in the NFL. He played for the Bears. It was in like the 1950s, maybe. I mean, it was crazy. Now, there were periods of time where the Bears, like everyone else, you know, the uniform issue that we talked about earlier in the season was during an era where African-Americans weren't allowed in the NFL or weren't employed by the NFL. So I'm not saying that race hasn't been an issue over the years, but I don't think it's connected to that decision. You know, Jeff Blake, I mean, we went over
Jason Campbell, Cordell Stewart, Vince Evans. I mean, there are
Vince
examples.
Evans, they never used the number two pick Henry overall
Burris.
On these guys, though.
No,
I mean, these
that's
are scrappy
true. That's true.
Players.
But I think there is and there was maybe still an element of being afraid of athleticism over kind of what we call the kind of system quarterbacks because the thinking was if you run more, you're going to get hurt more. And I think that Lamar Jackson will see if he can hold up. You know, there is concern that he is taking too many hits.
I think you're right. I don't think race entered into the equation. And now it was the wrong decision, but I'm not sure that it was made for those reasons. Deshaun Watson had some injuries, I guess, that scared him away. You could justify it, but it doesn't make any sense.
Sometimes you're just wrong, David.
Yeah, sometimes
you
are wrong.
The bad decision, and they've done it repeatedly at Alice Hall.
What would we have said had Ryan Pace drafted Patrick Mahomes with the 3rd overall pick? We would have said that was a huge reach.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this. Let's say, just for the sake of argument, that they had taken Mahomes or they had taken Deshaun Watson. You got any faith that either of those guys would have developed the way they have around the league? Doesn't matter how great the player is. If you're in that John Fox system and you got Mike Glennon coming in, I mean, give me a break.
And how ironic that Mitch's best attributes, his athleticism and his ability to run around and not his accuracy, which is kind of...
are the things that have come into play here. Yeah. Right, you're right. There was a thinking that, you know, listen, there was a thinking that Mahomes was a lot of Favre, that he was a guy that was going to, you know...
Gunslinger.
People don't like the gambler. You know, Matthew Stafford has that reputation because you're throwing from different arm angles, because you're willing to make a no-look pass, whatever, you can throw an interception.
And that was a comparison John Dorsey made on draft night, was to Brett Favre.
Yes.
And who would have thought that he would have lived up to that? But there are a lot of factors in play. He didn't play as a rookie. He was in the right system at the right time. This would have been a difficult spot for him to grow.
I haven't talked to Belichick about this, but I read that he would have taken Mahomes had he had a pick. So, I mean... if Belichick would be willing to undergo a quick interview before this next draft, maybe the Bears could get
the
guy
right. Can you
book
him for tomorrow?
We'll get him on, Dustin. Yeah. Can you get Bill Belichick on the program, for God's sake, please?
Michael Lombardi.
You couldn't get me to buy Mitchell Trubisky if you had him at a discount rack at Seeley's basement.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider.
Trubisky throws 23 times for $173, sacked 5 times. Look, I called it. I said he was going to have a good game against them. Got 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions. I mean, they got basically 81 yards rushing and 173 passing. And they barely could do anything. They were horrendous on third down. They can't throw the ball down the field, right? They were 2 for 12 on third down, and they won the game. And Pace is actually thinking he's doing good. If Matthew Stafford plays in this game, I mean, the way the Bears' defense couldn't put any pressure on the passer, I mean, it was really bad.
Looking at the league from a front office perspective.
There's growth that happens on the field. There's growth that happens off the field. Other young quarterbacks around the league are going through it, the same thing. And honestly, we're proud of the way Mitch is handling it.
To quote Frank Pentangeli of Frankie 5-8, lies, 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 lies. They're all lies. I mean, seriously. I mean, is this guy delusional? If you're a Bears fan, don't you feel like completely depressed when you read this?
So I made up a lot of stuff about
Mitch,
because that's what they wanted. But it was all lies. Everything.
Michael Lombardi, every Wednesday with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score. The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and on the line is radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. You can listen to him on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Insider Calls, brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. And Michael joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Are not doing as well as you think. You know, the Bears did stop the bleeding. They ended the 4-game losing streak with a victory over the Lions. It was an uninspired one just because the Lions were without Matthew Stafford. He was a late scratch in the game, and they had a player that they had signed a week after the season started, had no training camp, no time, and all the reporters were saying they'd never seen him throw a pass before, and there he was. So let me ask you, when you head out to L.A. now to take on the Jared Goff Rams, the game seems to be a matchup of can Khalil Mack be able to do as much as a great defensive tackle out there as whether the quarterbacks matter? How do you look at both these franchises? Is it better to know not to pay a guy or to have paid a guy that maybe you shouldn't have?
I think this is really, they should call this game the endowment ball. And really, and I wrote about this on the website, Coach George Raveling, one of the greatest human beings of all time. and I, we have this website called The Daily Coach. It's to help coaches. You get an email every day. It helps coaches as you're trying to go through and navigate. There's one thing in economics, they call it the endowment effect, and real estate agents understand this better than most, is when you own something, you place a higher value on it than something you don't own, than something that someone else owns. So they did this study when all the Duke kids stand in Krzyzewskiville and buy tickets and wait in line to get tickets to get inside indoor Cameron Arena. They get these tickets, and then when they get offered to sell them, they want $2,400 for the tickets, when people that don't get them only want $100, will pay $175. They value something they've owned more. And that's ultimately what the Rams did with Jared Goff. They value him way more than most anybody else in the National Football League do. He's got huge liability. He's not very physically tough in terms of when he gets hit. They have to protect him with an offensive line, which McVay done a wonderful job with over the first two seasons. However, now that it's the cat's out of the bag, people power Whitworth back. They push the guards and centers back. He's going to be on his third string center now, covered up for this game. It's a problem for him to throw the ball down the field, and his numbers have been reflected. Meanwhile, in Chicago, my man Ryan Pace, he's already going for the endowment effect with that quote he just had that I just quoted Frank Pantangeli on, is that, you know, he's ready to buy into it because he owns Trubisky. Even though no one in the National Football League would give him value for it, he's going to probably pay him.
You know, Michael, I think that I don't know if he's going to pay him. I mean, he has been pretty bad, as you know, and I think at the end of the season, they'll have a decision to make that might be an easier one than we think. But when you look at Ryan Pace and his devotion, I guess if you want to call it that, to Trubisky, it goes back to the 2017 draft. And the Tribune did a deep dive into everything that's happened since that point. And they revealed in the story yesterday that was online that Ryan Pace did not have a one-on-one meeting before the draft with Deshaun Watson. He did with Mitch, and they met with Mahomes, but they did not with Deshaun Watson. How common or uncommon is that in your experience, and what was your reaction to that?
Well, I think here's the way you have to look at it. I think you used the right word, devotion. I think that word is really critical, and I think people need to understand there's a difference between devotion and loyalty. When we remember Muhammad Ali, we remember that guy Bundy Brown that used to be with him.
Yeah.
Bundy Brown would always say, "You the champ, you the champ." No matter what shape that Ali was in, Bundy Brown would always say, "You're the greatest, you're the greatest." He was devoted to Muhammad Ali. He was never loyal to Muhammad Ali. Loyalty means you tell people what the truth really is. Devotion means you tell them how great they are. And I think that's the right word you use for Pace when it comes for Trubisky. He's devoted to him. He can't see the forest for the trees. Now, going to the draft, here's why he didn't interview him, because his scouts probably had Watson graded so low it wasn't on his radar, or he didn't feel Watson was worthy enough of his time. He didn't do his due diligence. He began with the end in mind. He saw Trubisky. He liked Trubisky. He probably felt Watson wasn't accurate enough. I just read a little bit of the column, Charlie Casserly saying that he liked Trubisky over Watson because he's more consistent and more accurate. Now think about that. More consistent. Wow. And more accurate. More consistent. Watson started for 4 years. Trubisky started for one. Who can be more consistent than that? this is truly this narrative that comes out by people in scouting that just they want to begin with the end in mind. And that's why he didn't spend time interviewing. And that's really GM malpractice, because you're a judge when you're a general manager. You can't rule on the case until you hear all the evidence of the case. And the only way you hear all the evidence of the case is to do all the homework.
And I don't argue with any of that. I would say that when you start talking about Deshaun Watson, I remember at the time people were concerned about injury history. They were concerned about his ability to stay healthy, and was he too frail a player to be able to play in the league? And, you know, this sort of thing happens all the time with that position where you want a certain amount of size. Now, I was not a fan of Trubisky coming out. I'm not going to claim that I had any understanding. The guy I liked was Deshaun Kizer, so I was obviously very wrong.
I mean, Mayock had him as his top-rated quarterback. I mean, you know, I mean, so, yeah, I mean, and look, I didn't get the Kizer one either, because Kizer, you know, even the people at Notre Dame told you he needed to stay in school. And you talk right about inaccurate now. That was that definition of inaccuracy.
But what I don't understand is, if you're looking for Drew Brees – why would you take a guy that was 8-5 and only had 1 year as a starter? You know, Drew Brees, as we've talked about this morning, he took a program at Purdue and he brought it back to national prominence. He brought it back to quarterback U, which it once was, and then it faltered and really hasn't been like that before. And if you think about it, you know, don't you want guys that win big games? And we know that Mitch didn't do well in the Sun Bowl that year. And they didn't have the quality wins, and he was behind a guy that didn't even make it in the NFL. So, you know, and I don't know if that matters, but don't you look at that when you're talking? I mean, you know, look at Russell Wilson. I know he was a third-round draft pick, but that kid had tons of starts and had played two different programs when he came into the league, and it seems like, you know, he came in as a complimentary piece with a great defense and then developed into a quarterback. I don't know how you find these guys if you're not looking at a history.
You don't. I mean, look, Parcells, I wrote about it in my book, Gridiron Genius. He has qualifications for a quarterback, and one of them is to win 23 games. That would have disqualified Mitchell right there. You know, I was a huge Deshaun Watson fan. I was on the table. I made it very clear, right? I was all in on Deshaun Watson. I thought he should have been the first pick in the draft. I thought he would have changes the culture. Everything that I thought about Deshaun Watson ends up being correct, right? Because why? Not because I'm smarter than anybody else, because I believe past performance predicts future achievement. Because when we drafted Terrence Flagler, a running back in Clemson, in 1986, and Bill Walsh looked at us and we drafted him, and after we drafted him and he was a bust, Bill Walsh told me, Michael, don't ever take the one-year player and look forward. Take the one-year player and look back. That has been in my brain ever since. And if you take Mitchell Trubisky and reverse engineer him, as opposed to project him forward like Pace did, you would have never taken him. You would have never taken him. Because you would have learned that the reason he didn't play was all the reasons why he's not any good at Chicago right now. So you take this one-year player, for me, you always look back, not forward. And I think people are just only want to hear what they want to hear. It's called confirmation bias. You only collect data that confirms what you already have believed. And that is why the draft is so bad. That's why we don't put the economic decision-making into it. That's why the endowment effect comes into play in the draft. I own it. I can't get rid of it. You know, I'm not giving you a third-round pick for that player because I own the third-round pick, even though you don't even know what you own with a third-round pick. And the player you're going to get back is better than what you could possibly pick.
Okay, Mike, so you're an executive in the front office of a team with a struggling quarterback situation, and Colin Kaepernick is working out Saturday in Atlanta. Are you there? Do you have to be there? What does it say if you're not there?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, obviously the NFL arranged this. This has got some political implications that if you're not there, it's going to shine a bright light. But I think to me, you know, if I had a quarterback that I was struggling, you know, and I'm looking for a quarterback, I'm going to be at every single doorstep, right? I'm never going to be anywhere. I'm going to dig under every hole. I'm going to try to find it. I mean, do you realize, Chicago fans, that Jeff Driscoll was the better quarterback on that field last week? Wow. Do you realize this? I know it's going to be hard for you to admit, but he was the better player. He was the better player. He didn't have he was the better player of that game. And so if you know that, and Jeff Driscoll's, you know, sixth-round pick from San Francisco, he's on the street from the Bengals who cut him this offseason, you're sitting there saying, I got to find me a quarterback. I have to dig under every single hole to try to find one, and I'll go down there. I got to. Even though I already think that unless we're willing to change completely what we do with Kaepernick, then maybe that doesn't work. I didn't like Kaepernick coming out. I don't think Kaepernick was ever accurate enough with the football. His decision-making was poor. He's not a West Coast offense. And I think even in Chip Kelly's scheme, in the last year he played, he really didn't fit, and he didn't play with rhythm.
We'll let you go, Michael. Just out of curiosity, do you give the Bears a shot at Los Angeles against the Rams? I mean, you know, the Rams are playing good
defense. Weren't you disappointed with their defense last week? Where was the pass rush?
Yes.
Yep. Where was the pass?
Well, won't they blitz dominate? More? Don't you blitz a team like this when they got two offensive linemen out?
I'll tell you something right now. I know Bear fans don't want to hear it. They think I'm anti here, but I think the Kwiatkowski kid is playing better than Roquan Smith right now. That kid is a good player. He needs to be on the field. He helped their defense last week.
Yeah.
He made more plays than Roquan's been making lately, and I don't know what's going on with Roquan. Do I give him a chance? Yeah, I give him a chance because the Rams' offensive line isn't very good. But, man, do they miss Akeem Hicks. Man, do they miss him because they can't control the middle of the field. They need to play with power. You play the Rams, you need to put a big, powerful guy over their center and push him back, and you would beat the Rams.
Great stuff, Michael. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
It's always fun to talk to Michael Lombardi.
Oh, yeah.
He, of course, radio.com, Sports NFL Insider, and Insider Calls are brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. You can listen to Michael on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on radio.com or wherever you get your podcast.
Never shy, especially on the Bears.
Wow. I mean, that's something else. Mully and Haw, 312-644-6767. We're going to go to Gordon Whitmire. We're going to talk some baseball. We'll get to the owners' meetings.
He's in Arizona.
Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.